It's good to be with you again today, and we're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 4. He's been speaking of different gifts, and he says these gifts are given for the perfecting or the fitting out of the saints unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body, fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplies, according to the worker in due measure of each individual part, makes the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. We were talking about marks of maturity. The goal here is maturity as a Christian. What makes up a mature Christian? Now we can say there are certain things that make for maturity as a person, a human being. We may say there are things that are indications of physical maturity. There are things that are indications of intellectual maturity, of emotional maturity, and so we have standards that we set up and say, now this is a mature person. A person becomes mature physically when there are certain things true of his body. There are things here that he speaks of that indicate maturity. In other words, a Christian now who is has grown and has become mature and can function and be useful as an adult Christian, so to speak. What are these things? One that he mentions here right at the beginning, and it's the most important, is that there's Christ-likeness. There's growth unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How important it is. I can't stress this too much. We oftentimes are greatly swayed by gift. If a man is a gifted preacher, an orator, if he moves people, then many times character is overlooked. But I'm convinced that God is deeply concerned about character. And a man may have all kinds of natural gift and ability, and if there is not holiness, if there is not Christ-likeness, then it's all in vain. And yet we have to say that today, many times there are men whose character is sadly lacking, who continue preaching and being leaders, and they shouldn't be. I know of men who are nationally and internationally known, who have committed adultery, have divorced their wives, who have remarried, and who have gone on preaching without missing a step. And the church ought to rise up in indignation and stop their mouths. And the church ought to say, listen, we stand for holiness. You may be gifted, but there are things terribly wrong in your life, and you are no longer qualified to stand before us and tell us how to live. Holiness. And here he speaks of his Christ-likeness. Now there's something else that's mentioned. That we be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of teaching, but speaking truth in love, may grow up. A sign of maturity is that a person is no longer just gullible. You know, little children will believe almost anything. There's a sweetness and a simplicity about it. You know, you go to them and you tell them a story sometimes. They'll believe every part of it is true, historically true. You have to be careful what you tell children. Because in their simplicity, they'll just believe everything. And they're very easily swayed. One minute they'll believe this, someone else teaches them something the next day, they'll believe that. Childish. Not really being stable or knowing what they believe. Now, in little children, we say that's cute, and that's part of being a child. But it isn't cute in Christians who've been Christians for many years when they don't know what they believe. And when they're easily swayed and someone comes knocking on the door and doing some literature work and they invite them in and and they're just swept away into various cults and movements that are not Christian at all. And yet you'd have to say, well, they may even be real Christians themselves, but they're ignorant. They don't know enough about certain truths of the Word of God to discern when someone comes to them with error, and they just follow them gullibly, like sheep to the slaughter. And here he says, we need to not be children. We need to know the truth of God and be able to speak that truth. Communicate it to others. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it, and you need to be able to intelligently share that belief with others. Now, someone should say to you, how can a person be saved? How can a person be right with God? What would you say? And I've asked that question to many people, and you'd be surprised how many people, many church people, say, well, I really don't know. I guess maybe you should go ask my preacher or something like this. And this is tragic. If you don't know how to tell someone to be saved, there's a real question as to whether or not you're saved. And then in so many other areas, if you would ask a Christian, how do you know Jesus is the Son of God? Someone came to you and said, no, he isn't the Son of God. He's just a man, or he's maybe an angel who became a man. Would you know enough to be able to refute that? We need to know the Word of God. We need to be saturated with the Word of God. We need to know what we believe. And that's what he's saying here. Let's not be little babies. As Hebrews says, you ought to be teachers in Hebrews 5. You have need that someone once again teach you the elemental things. You need to learn your ABCs all over. And yet you, because you've been saved so long, you ought to be able to teach other people. So we need to study the Word of God. We need to spend time with the Word of God. And this is a tremendous lack today. I sometimes challenge people, Christians, to spend as much time with the Word of God as they spend with their television. And if they do, I believe it would revolutionize their lives. I believe it would change their whole lives. They spend an hour a day with TV, and that isn't much for many people. If they spend an hour a day reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God, what a revolution in their lives as Christians. And it's tragic. Sometimes we spend so little time with the Word of God, we don't even get into it. We don't get a taste for it. You have to spend some time reading to really develop a taste for the Word of God and enjoy it as you should. And if you only spend a couple minutes a day and you dash off in a hurry, you're not even going to have time to digest it, you know, and you're not going to get much good out of it. Oh, to spend time with the Word of God and become intelligent in His things. And this is a mark of spiritual maturity, knowledge of the Word. Another mark, I think there's a discovery of our gift and a learning to function in the body. He talks about here that we grow up in Him, into Christ, developing, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus. He's the head of the church, and He's the one who's gifted us. The head coordinates, doesn't it? The head coordinates all the movements of my body. We as Christians should look to Him, and I want to say this, if we're all looking to the Lord, there's not going to be any trouble in your local church. There's not going to be any strife. You're going to be getting the signals right. You know, we start looking at other things and we get all confused, and there becomes bitterness and jealousy and envy and strife. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord and be getting our signals from Him as to how we should function and what we should do. And it says that here the whole body now is knit together, the various ligaments, the tendons, the joints, the muscles, all beautifully compacted, knit together, formed together. And let me suggest this, that I think, too, a mark of maturity is learning to work in harmony with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's a mark of childishness not to be able to get along. little children. For example, you take a 1 or 2 year old and bring him into a room where another 1 or 2 year old child is. And you're not going to see a lot of team play. You're not going to see them saying, well, let's do this together, you know. And instead, you tend to see one saying, I want all these toys. And the other one comes along and hits him over the head with a wagon or something, says, hey, I want them. And there's just a self-centeredness. There's a selfishness. They haven't learned at all to play together, to be submissive to one another, and to have the joy of accomplishing things together. They're very self-centered, and they want things for themselves. Oh, once in a while, they show some gratitude and that toward parents. But the concept of teamwork or of playing together is not something that little children that age understand or can do. But when a child gets up into grade school and into junior high and high school, he's growing and maturing. Then he's at the stage where you see him going out for team sports. And he's enjoying that. And he's finding great delight, not just in simply being a law to himself and doing everything he just wants to do, but in working together in a team and working in harmony with his teammates and winning a game. That is a mark of maturity. And the same thing is true as you see adults in the world around us, in a community, with your neighbors, trying to work together in harmony and learning to get along. This should be true of the church above everywhere else. And yet, sad to say, many times you see churches that are squabbling and divided and confused, a tragic thing. A mark of maturity, then, is coming to know your gift, developing that gift, working in harmony with your brothers and sisters, not being jealous of the gifts of others, but being thankful for them, and being thankful for your gift, and using it to the full for the glory of the Lord Jesus. That's what the Lord Jesus wants to see, and this should be a goal of these different teaching gifts, shepherding gifts, and so forth, to see Christians develop and grow and come along until they're working together in loving harmony as a body of the Lord Jesus. We don't see this too often today, but it should be our goal. So let's think again then of these marks of maturity that I've mentioned. Christ-likeness. He's our standard. We grow up unto a measure of the stature of Christ. Christ-likeness. Knowing the word, being intelligent, and then discovering our gift and working in harmony as a part of the body of the Lord Jesus. May this be our desire.